So this year, be Yirtzei Hashem, half halacha and half hashkafa, and hopefully the goal is to put us into the mood for Purim. On the halachic level, I want to discuss with you the issue of Hallel and Purim. Hallel and Purim is not just theoretical, because the Meiri writes in Masechet Megillah and Daf Yud Daled that if you don't have a Megillah, you don't have access to a Megillah, then you read Hallel. And the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes him in Bir Aloch. He doesn't paskin one way or the other, he leaves it sort of open. But the very fact that there is such a sheet in the Meiri seems to indicate that there's room for an argument that there should be Hallel on Purim. So we're going to try to investigate the source for that. And you'll see that on your page as we go through the laws of Hallel. The Rambam codifies the laws of Hallel in Hilchos Chanukah, and he writes the following: Shmon Esrei Yom, there are 18 days in the year in which we have a mitzvah ligmar b'enes ha'hal, meaning to complete the reading of the Hallel, to read the entire Hallel. The Rambam says we have the 7 days of Sukkot together with Shmini Atzeres, that makes a unit of eight. Then the Rambam has the 8 days of Chanukah, so that jacks it up to 16. And then we have the first day of Pesach and Atzeres. And again, all this is in Eretz Yisrael. We're not calculating Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. And all told, if we have 8, 8, and 2, we have 16. Right, we have 8 days, 16 plus 2 is 18. So we have the 18 days of mitzvah ligmar behenes ha'halel. The Rambam is bothered by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and he gives his answer for that. And then when he gets to Purim, he says, v'lo tiknu halel b'purim. So you might want to underline those words, because we're going to have a lot to say about those words. V'lo tiknu halel b'purim. And the Rambam gives an explanation. Now, to appreciate the Rambam explanation, we go back to the Braisa and the Sugya in Masechet Megillah. This on Daf Yud Daled Amud Aleph. The Braisa establishes that the only mitzvah, and again, this is a long discussion, not for now, that the Nevi'im added was the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Again, we're not going to go into that now. That's a topic unto itself. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the basis in the Torah for Mikra Megillah? Because the Gemara is very careful not to understand that there's a new mitzvah that the Chachamim created. Because, again, the Chachamim and the Nevi'im never create new mitzvahs. So they must have found some basis for Mikra Megillah in the Torah itself. And now we have the famous Gzeres Shavar of Rav Yishuv ben Karcha. Uma av me avdus lecheirus hamrin and shira. When the Jewish people exit from Egypt and they're no longer avodim, they now achieve cheirus, they recited shira. Rashi, if you take a look towards the bottom, he says, me avdus lecheirus be yitzias mitzrayim amu shira al hayom. So the shira that the Gemara is referring to, says Rashi, Rashi identifies that shira with the shira on the Yam. So now they went from Avdus L'Cheirus. We have no reason to assume that Paro is about to annihilate the Jewish people. But in the case of Purim, Mimisa L'Chaim, the Gzeir of Haman was to annihilate the entire Jewish people. Is Lo Kolshkein? How much more so should we be reciting shira? So the Gemara says, wait a minute, if we asked you one question, you gave us an answer to a different question. Our question was, what's the basis for the Takon of Mikra Megillah? And you're telling me, well, we should be reciting Shira. If we should be reciting Shira, Ihochi Hallel Nema, we should be reciting Hallel. We don't find Hallel on Purim. So the Gemara gives three answers. One answer is that Ein Omrim Hallel Neshe B'chutz Laretz. Okay, that's the sugya. And then there's another sugya that says that we can only recite Hallel when the entire Cheirus is achieved and we're still under the control of Achashverosh. And finally we get to Rav Nachman's answer. And Rav Nachman answers, Kriyasa Zuhi Lula, that the Kriyasa HaMegillah is the Hallel. So it comes out from this Gemara, and the Rambam writes in the previous paragraph that we saw on top, Lo tiknu halel bepurim shekriyas hamagila hi ha-halel. The Rambam codifies Rav Nachman. And it means that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah on the one end is a mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes, right? We have to go ahead and publicize the miracle. And at the same time, we have to be Mahalel Takodesh Baruch. We have to thank Him and praise Him. And Kriyas HaMegillah has both elements to it. Okay. Now we have the question of the Turi Evan. The Turi Evan says that this Sugya Megillah is very odd because it would seem that the Gemara is deriving the Chiyuv Halel from a Kalvachomer from Shiras Hayom. Now wait a second. We're talking not about a one-time event. We're trying to establish a Chiyuv Mikra Megillah for all generations. A Takana in every generation. So let's go back to the Kalvachomer. The Kalvachomer starts with Shir Al Hayam, Rashi says. Now, when did they recite Shir Al Hayam?
When it happened.
Which was when?
The morning after the morning of Shvi Shel Pesach.
Shvi Shel Pesach. Now, do we have Hal on Shvi Shel Pesach?
No.
And the proof of it is that we have 18 days of Halel, and Pesach only gets
one
day. So there's no Hal on Shvi Shel Pesach. Now, how can you derive, asks the Turi Evan, a Kalvachomer from Shvi Shel Pesach, because that's Mi'avdus L'Cherus, and they recited Shir Al Hayam, and therefore we're going to establish Mimisa L'Chaim with the Kol Shekein that we should be reciting Halel on Purim, when Mimokam Shabbosah, from the place that you started with, namely Shvi Shel Pesach.
But that's only a one-time thing.
Good, but I'm saying, you could say that the Hatzolah from Purim is also a one-time thing, correct?
Right. That's his question.
Good. I thought you were trying to answer the question. The question is excellent, right? Because you want to establish a Kriyas HaMegillah as Halel for all generations, based on what? On the Shira that Bnei Yisrael recited on Shvi Shel Pesach,
one time
at the point of Kriyas Yam Suf. Well, if you're telling me that we're basing a Kalvachom, because if you're chayev in Kriyas HaHalel on a lowercase situation, which is only Mi'avdus L'Cheres, how much more so Mi'mis L'Chaim? Well, let's go back to that lowercase. Let's go back to the situation of Mi'avdus L'Cheres. Is there Halel on that day? If there's no Halel on that day, how can you say, well, if there's Halel on that day, how much more so we should have Halel on Purim because it's Mimisa L'Chaim, when in the original day of Kriyas Yam Suf, there is no Halel? That's the Turi Evan's kasha. Let's add another question. The sugya of Halel on Purim appears in two places in Shas. We saw it here in Masechta Megillah on Daf Yud Dali, but it also appears in Erchin Daf Yud. The Gemara there quotes a member of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yishimon ben Yod Tzadok that there are 18 days on which we finish the Halel. We recite the entire Halel. We have the 8 days of Sukkot, we have the 8 days of Chanukah, we have the first day of Pesach, and the day of Atzeres, meaning Chag HaShavuos. In Chutzarts, they added another 3 days, jacking it up from 18 to 21, and that's because on Atzeres we have a Yom Tov Sheni, on Pesach we have Yom Tov Sheni, and on Sukkot we have Yom Tov Sheni, meaning for the 8th day, Simchas Torah, what we call. So the Gemara says the following. If we look at various days that are special, unique days in the year, some of them, and those are listed by Rav Shim ben Yod Tzadok as the 18 days for Halel, have Halel, others do not have Halel. So the Gemara is trying to work out what are the criteria and what are the requirements, the conditions for reciting Halel. For example, the Gemara wants to know, why is it that on Pesach we only recite Halel on the first day? And on Sukkot, we recite Halel on all 8 days. And the Gemara comes up with the theory that you have to have a new carbon on each day to generate Hallel. The Gemara asked, why isn't there Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? I mean, that would jack it up by another 18 days. And the answer is because Rosh Chodesh doesn't have Isur Melacha. What's common to all these days is that we have an Isur Melacha. The Gemara asks about Shabbos. Shabbos has both a special Karban and it has an Isur Melacha. And the Gemara says, well, Shabbos is not called a Moed. So we need the following. We need A, that it be called a Moed. B, we need a special unique Karban. And C, we need Isur Melacha. And Chol HaMoed has a new Karban on Sukkot. On Pesach, we repeat the same Karban time after time.
You do Melacha and Chol HaMoed.
The Gemara thinks that the Isur Melacha and Chol HaMoed is Doraisa, the Heter for Dover Avud and so forth and so on, that's only Heterim, but the Isur Melacha per se is based on Mikrei Kodesh. So now the Gemara asks the following question. V'chanukah d'lo hachi v'lo hachi uka'amar. Chanukah doesn't fit the bill. Chanukah is not also a Melacha. Chanukah is nowhere called a Moed. And Chanukah doesn't have a carbon, so there's no carbon, there's no Isur Melacha, there's no Moed. So the Gemara answers Mishum Nisa, because of the great miracle that took place on Chanukah. Now, before we go on, the Pashtus, the simple way of understanding the Gemara is that there are two Machayvim of Hallel. One Machayv of Hallel, what Chiv is generated is dependent upon Moed. Moed means with a separate carbon, with an Isur Melacha. And now there's a new Machayev, a whole new reason why we recite Hallel. And they establish Hallel on a day that has a Nes. Okay, so the Gemara now has a valid question. If you added Chanukah, that's 8 days, add another day for Purim. Purim should also be a requirement of Hallel, the Ikar Nisa. There's a Nes on Purim. Lema, we should also recite Hallel. The Gemara goes through all the answers that we mentioned earlier, culminating in Rav Nachman, the Omar Kriyasa Zui Hilula, that we have Kriyasa Megillah, and Kriyasa Megillah replaces Hallel. But notice something very strange, Rav Osai. In the first case, in the Sugya Megillah, the Gemara starts by asking, well, for sure Purim should require Hallel. Why? Because of the Kal V'chomer from Shira. That if they said Shira Me'avdus L'Cherus, how much more so should they say Hallel in the case of Purim, which is Misa L'Chaim? The Gemara in Erechin is completely oblivious to that Kal V'chomer, and the Gemara comes to another angle, comes to the same conclusion that Purim should require Hallel. And that's because of Chanukah, that just like Chanukah has a Nes, Purim also has a Nes. And if Nes is enough to generate a Chi of Hallel in the case of Chanukah, why not in the case of Purim? Until the Gemara comes up with Kriyas and Zuilu. So notice what goes on here. We have, let's call it A, B, and C. You know, we have B is the middle of the sandwich. We have a great similarity, a common denominator between these two sugyas, the Sugya Megillah and the Sugya Erechin. They mirror image themselves. They both ask the question, why is there no Hallel on Purim? They both come to the same conclusion that Kriyasa Zui Hilula, that Kriyasa Hallel is going to substitute for, I'm sorry, Kriyasa Megillah is going to substitute for Kriyasa Hallel. But in the middle, we have two different sukkahs. In the middle, we want to know, okay, you're telling me that Purim should require Kriyasa Megillah. Why? In the case of the Gemara and Megillah, the answer is because of the Kal V'chomer from Shir Alayam. In the case of Erechin, there the Sugya thinks that Purim requires Hallel because of Chanukah. For the same reason that Chanukah is a separate category of a Machayev Mishum Nes, Purim likewise should be a Machayev of Nes. What happened to the Kal V'chomer? Or if you flip it around the other way, why in the Gemara and Megillah didn't the Gemara, you know, generate this question based on a comparison to Chanukah? In one case, we're saying Purim should have Hallel because of Chanukah. The other case, we're saying Purim should have Hallel because of the Kal V'chomer from Shir Sayyam. It's very strange to have two different sugyas asking the same question, ultimately coming to the same answer, but through two different channels, as if one sugya was unaware of the other sugya. Do you hear the question? So we have two questions. We have the Duri Evans question, and that is that if Kriyasa Zui Lula, if Kriyasa Hallel is going to be fulfilled through what? Through Kriyas HaMegillah. The Gemara came to that conclusion in Masechet HaMegillah based on Shvi Shel Pesach, meaning Shiras HaYom, and paradoxically, Shvi Shel Pesach itself doesn't have a Hallel. There's no established Takkan on Shvi Shel Pesach. And the second question is, how do we reconcile these two sugyas, one in Masechet HaMegillah, the other in Masechet HaErechin? They seem to be going down two different pathways. One is based on an equation to Yamsuf and the Shira Yam, and the other based on the equation to Chan. Now, to answer this question, these two questions, we're going to start with a Rambam in Hilchus Megillah. Actually, it's technically Hilchus Chanukah, because that's where the Rambam codifies the laws of Hallel. And this is Perek Gimel. In this case, we're looking at Halacha Yudalit. The Rambam says the following. Supposing you want to hear Hallel from someone else. Now, if that someone else is obligated in Hallel, and you hear his Hallel, that's fine. And that's called Shomer Ka'onah. However, in certain cases, you're hearing the Hallel from someone who's not obligated in Hallel. So this halacha, called Ona Achreya Mashem Omrim, means we recite, I guess it's called responsive reading. I don't know if that word means anything to you. Do you remember this from your childhood? Responsive reading. So what's going to happen is that these people, the Rambam has three categories of individuals who, they can't be motzi me, but if I repeat word for word after them, that's fine. So they're just reading, and I'm responding. I'm reading it on my own.
Like the Kohanim when they took the Shliach Tzibur.
Right, he sort of feeds them, and then they recite it on their own. My father's a Kol Avrocha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He had certain piyutim which he would read responsively, like Atohu Elokeinu, and so forth. They're different piyutim. Anyway, getting back to this. So what are the three categories of individuals who are reading Hallel? You want to be Yotze, and you could only be Yotze if you parrot them. He says, Im hoya hamakri esai Hallel katan o eved o isha, one of these three categories, ona achrei mashem omer mila b'mila b'chol ha'al. Now in the case of katan, I understand. A katan is not bar chiyuva. He can't be motzimi. I have to repeat word for word after him. In the case of an Eved, I can understand that too, because an Eved is also a lav bar chiyuva, because Hallel is a classic case of mitzvah seishazman groma. And in such a case, since the time-bound mitzvah, an Eved is pot. Isha is a little bit of a question, and I'll tell you why. Tosis in Masechta Sukkah talks about, addresses the issue of a woman's obligation in Hallel with regard to Leil HaPesach. We have a Hallel on the night of Pesach. I'm not talking about the Hallel in Shul. I'm talking about the Hallel, you know, at the Seder table. And that Hallel is established in the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim on the fourth of the Kosos. So you have four Kosos, the last of which is the Kos of Hallel. So Tosis says, Mashma Khan, the sugya there in Sukkah, seems to indicate that Isha Ptura Mihalel, the Sukkis, the Atzeres, Vitaimo Mishud Vitzat Seishas, my Gromahi. Oh. The Afal Gav, the Halel, the Lel Psochim, Mashma. Piperkarvi Psochim, the Machaivi, Bidali Kosos. You get the feeling that a woman is obligated in the Hallel of Leil Pesach, because a woman is obligated in all four kosos, one of which is a kosher Hallel. And it only makes sense to say that she has a kosher Hallel if she's reciting Hallel. U'mistarolo tiknu dalet kosos elu kidei lomar aleim Hallel v'hagoda. So how can we reconcile this? On the one hand, the classic Hallel of Yontif is called a mitzvah seishes when women are exempt. But on the other hand, in the hal of Leila Pesach, women are obligated. He says, Shani hal de Pesach, the al hanes ba, the af hein hoyu, the oso hanes. They were included in the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, Enoch Hinami, as far as the Yontif is concerned, that chiyuv of Halel is not obligatory on the ladies because it's a mitzvah seishas man groma. But as far as the chiyuv Halel on Leil Pesach, which he says is Mishum Nes, the Alanes Ba, those are the three words that you want to underline, Alanes Ba, then we can obligate the women under a different category, and that's called Afhein Hayu Ba'osanes. Since they're included in the miracle, therefore, just like the Chayiv and Talit Kosos, they'll be obligated in Halal as well. Now, what would you say about Chanukah? Is Chanukah mitzvah, is the Halal of Chanukah A mitzvah seishas man groma, or B mishum nes? What did we learn in the Gemara in Erechin?
Nes.
It's mishum nes, and we understood that that meant there's a separate category, a new machayev of Halal with regard to Chanukah, and that's nes. No, if that be the case, then we should apply the principle of Afhein Hayu Bosa Nes. Now, the Rambam Hilchos Chanukah says that if a woman is reading Halel, then you have to read word for word after her. In other words, she's not a Bar Chiyuva, she can't be Motzi you. And the question is why? Why is she obligated? So Bishleim, if you're talking about Halel on Sukkis, on Pesach, on Atzeres, that I understand. That's called the Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma, Noshim Peturos. But the Halel of Chanukah is in a separate category. And that is Mishum Nes. So then in that case, women should be obligated because of Afhein Hoy Bosa Nes. Meaning, what's the difference between Halel on Chanukah and Halal on the night of Sukkot, on the night of Pesach, to the same extent that Tosfos classifies the Halal on Leil Pesach as a chiyuv mishum nes, and if it's a chiyuv mishum nes, then we activate the principle of Noshim Afeinoi Bosa Nes, and the Halal of Chanukah, which is also mishum nes, and therefore we should apply the principle of Afeinoi Bosa Nes. So, have we made any progress? Actually, we now have another kasha to ask. So we have already two kashas, and now we have a third kasha. So I don't know if we're doing so great, but sometimes if you pile up kashas, you know, it can help.
What we're talking Pesach, so you have one more to go.
Right, one more. So it could be like that. That at this point, we have to ask the following question. What's the difference between Halel on Chanukah, which the Gemara says Mishum Nisa, and the Halal Leil Pesach, which Tosa says is Alanes Hu Ba? The Rambam establishes that in the case of Halal and Chanukah, women are exempt, which means the Rambam equates Halal and Chanukah with all the other days of Halal. And the Gemara says that Halal and Chanukah is Mishum Nes, it should be exactly equivalent to the Halal on Leil Pesach, which is based on the principle Tosa says of Afein Hoyim Bosan Nes. Why is it that Afein Hoyu Bosa Nes could be Machayev the Noshim in Halal Leil Pesach, but not the Halal of Chanukah? So let's now reinterpret, in the light of this question, the Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara says that the reason why you don't have any of the requirements of Halel that apply to a Moed, meaning it's got to be a Moed with Yisra Malacha, and it has to have a Karma, none of these requirements apply to Chanukah. So we thought that the Gemara was answering Mishum Nisa as a separate category, that Nes generates a Chiyuv Halel. And then we're stuck with the following question, because if Nes generates a Chiyuv Halel, then women should be obligated in the Halel of Chanukah, because the Gemara is saying that Chanukah is Mishum Nes. And whenever the Mechayev is Nes, we apply the principle of Afeinoy. So what does Mishum Nisa mean? So I saw in a Sefer called Gvuris Yitzchak, he wants to suggest the following. That what they did was, Mishum Nisa, they established Chanukah as a yontif, Meaning, in all the other Yom Tovim, we have a Doraisa. We have the Torah established it as a Yontif. And as part of that Yontif, if it has all the requirements, it's called a Moed, and it has an Isa Molacha, and it has a separate Karbon, a new Karbon, we have a Chiyuv Hallel. Is there such a thing, an entity, as a Yontif Midrabanan, where the Chachamim established as a Yontif? So if you take out the Gemara in Shabbos, the famous Brice of my Chanukah, it says, L'shana Cheres Kavum Yom Tov Behalv Odah. The language of the Brice, I don't have it in front of me right this second, is that they were Koveya Chanukah as a Yontif. L'gabi what? L'gabi Hallel. So it means that the Chiyuv of Hallel on Chanukah is a Chiyuv of Yontif. It's not a separate category. In other words, when the Brisa says, and the Gemara quotes here, Rabbi Yochanan Bishuv, Rabbi Shimba, and Yod Sada, that there are 18 days in which we recite Hallel, that means 8, 8, and 2, it's all one entity. There's one underlying reason why you chayev in all these cases. And what is that? Because of Yontif. Now you'll ask me, but how is Chanukah of Yontif? It doesn't have any of the conditions of Yontif. The answer is the Chachamim established as the Yontif. And why did they establish it as the Yontif? Because of Nes. Since there was a great miracle on Chanukah, they made it into a Yontif. And that Yontif is Mechayev Hallel like any other Yontif, albeit on the Rabbanan level. It could be that the Hallel on other Yom Tov might be Doraisa, because it has all the conditions of a Yontif Doraisa. But now we have a Yontif Derabbanan. And within the context of a Yontif Derabbanan, we have a Chiyuv Hallel. Now, when we get to the Leil Pesach, the night of Pesach, here we're not talking about a separate Yontif. When are we going to recite the Hallel of the Yontif of Pesach? In the morning. So why are we saying Hallel at night? Because on that night we went out of Mitzrayim. So we're commemorating the Ness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's already a new category. And that's where Tosa says that we can apply the principle of Noshim Chayos Mishum Sha'af Hein Hoyubo Sadness. But if you have a Hallel that is generated by a Yontif, and even Chanukah, although it's the Rabbanan, that Hallel is obligatory because of the Yontif, the status of Chanukah as a Yontif, then the principle that applies to all the days of Hallel, namely that since it's a Zman Grama, will apply to Chanukah as well. Chanukah is also a Zman Grama. And therefore, women are exempt from Hallel. Hence, the Rambam writes that if a woman is reading Hallel on Chanukah, you have to repeat it responsibly, word for word. You can't be yotze. She's not a Baruch Hu.
So, women are dafka chayav on night of Pesach in Hallel?
Yes, absolutely.
Because a lot of women don't go to shul at Maariv.
No, I'm not talking. That's a different Hallel. Let's not confuse, Mark.
No, I mean, I'm talking about night. At night, I'm talking about.
Right, no,
night,
that's night, a different hallel. There are two hallels on the night of
Pesach.
No, there are two hallels on the night of Pesach. We shouldn't confuse them. One is the hallel that we recite in shul.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another hallel that's part of the Seder.
Oh, Seder. Okay,
right.
That's what you're talking about.
Right, that's what we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, I think you're talking about
Tosis and Sukkah is integrating that hallel into the Seder, and he's saying that that hallel is Mishum Nes. The hallel in shul is a different entity.
But that's without a bracha in the Seder.
Exactly. That's what I want to come to now. In any event, the Hallel HaSeder, Tosu says, is obligatory not only on men, but on women. Again, it's very difficult. You got to get the women out there. They're okay for the first half of Hallel, usually.
Yeah,
unless they take a break to make the Lakshin Kugel, or whatever, you know, if you can cross, you know, the Kneeluch, or whatever. But when you get them for the last cup of wine, and you want to recite Hallel, that's already a big challenge. But Alpidin Tosa says they're obligated because of Afein Hoyibosa Nes. Our question was, why not take Afein Hoyibosa Nes and apply it to Chanukah and therefore conclude that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Hallel on Chanukah? So that's what we're suggesting. That Chanukah was established as a Yontif. The Hallel that we recite on Leil Pesach is not the Yontif Dika Hallel. That we'll recite in the morning. The Hallel on Leil Pesach is the Nes Hallel because of the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And here women are obligated. Now, we said before, and we're going to come back to your point, Murray, that the Hallel on the Seder comes without a bracha. We said before that there are two sugyas that ask the question, why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? One sugya says that since you've established a mitzvah of Hallel on Chanukah, Mishum Nes, then why is Purim less of a Nes than Chanukah? That was the sugya in Masechta Erechim. You'll see that on your page. The sugya Masechta Megillah had a different basis for this question. We should recite Hallel on Purim because of the Kal V'chomer from Avdus L'Cheirus. It's possible that these two sugyas are really addressing two different issues, two different categories. Could we just close the doors, if you don't mind? Let me quote to you the Ran in Masechta Megillah. I'm sorry, the Ran in Masechta Pesachim. The Ran at the end of Pesachim says the following. There are two entities of Hallel. There's one entity of Hallel that gets a bracha, and there's one entity of Hallel that doesn't have a bracha. Like you pointed out, Mari, on Leil HaSeder, when we integrate Hallel into the Seder, we have no bracha. Says the Ran in the name of Rav Haigon, he says the following. Ein mevarchim al Hallel b'Leil Pesachim, this is a major breakthrough. We have two categories of Hallel. One is called Hallel of Kriya. It means it has a definite beginning, middle, and end. There's a Nusach that Chazal established for Kriya Sahallel. And then we have another entity of Hallel, which is called Shira. And Rav Haigon says the difference is going to be the following. That in the case of Hallel B'Torah's Kriya, which we saw in the 18 days listed in Rav Shimon ben Yotzadok, that's a Kriya with a bracha. In the case of Leil HaPesach, that's not Kriya, but rather Shira. And Shira is something, shall we say, spontaneous. It's not formulated in a structure like that. And therefore doesn't get a bracha. The Brisker Rav, you've heard of the Brisker Rav, he says that there's another fundamental difference between Hallel, the whole year round, which is, meaning on every Yom Tov, which is Kriyas HaHallel, as opposed to Rav Haigon's Hallel on Leil Pesach, which is only Shira, in that in the case of Hallel, you have to recite the entire Hallel. You can't leave anything out. In the case of Shira, you don't have to recite the entire Hallel. If you recite parts of it, that would be enough to be Makayim in the midst of Shira.
Plus, you have a break in the middle for an hour to eat. I mean, that's
correct. That breaks up the. Hallel.
That's another major.
Right. And there are different parts of Hallel that could be omitted for the purpose of Shira. And that's what the Brisker Rav discusses. If we take this distinction between two categories of Hallel,
your wife will be happy to hear that she has to be there for part of Hallel, but not the whole Hallel.
Right. But most of Hallel is there anyway, so she won't get away with too much. Here we can make a distinction between the two sugyas, one in Megillah, which is based on the Kal V'chomer from Misa L'Chaim, the Kal V'chomer from Avdus L'Cheres, and the sugya in Masechta Erechin, which is based on an equation to Chanukah. We've just finished establishing that Chanukah was upgraded to the status of a Yontif. And therefore, the 8 days of Chanukah, as far as Hallel are concerned, are no different than the other 10 days of Hallel. They're all mikshachas, they're all one entity. Call it a day of Yontif, and Yontif is Mechayev Hallel. The Gemara now asks the following question: well, why did they establish Chanukah as a Yontif, in Hallel? And the answer is Mishum Nes. If that be the case, why not apply the same yardstick to Purim? Why didn't they say the following? Then in Purim, we establish a Yontif, and that's because of the great miracle of Purim. That Yontif should now be Mechayev Hallel. So the Gemara answers, you know what? We have another method by which you could be Mechayev Hallel, and that's Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah will now replace Hallel. The Gemara in Megillah is asking a whole different question. The Gemara is asking, well, wait a second. What about Shira? There should be a Chi of Shira on Purim. Why? Because Purim was a salvation. If we recited Shira at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, that means that whenever you experience a great miracle, you have a chiyuv of shira. The Gemara now says, if that be the case, then a misal chayim lo kolshke. How much more so should there be a chiyuv of shira in the case of Purim, which is mimisal chayim? And the Gemara answers, you know what? There is shira. And what is that shira? That shira is mikra megillah. Mikra megillah now is the chiyuv of shira. Now, if this be the case, we could answer the Turi Evans kasha. What was the Turi Evans question? Why is it that on the last day of Pesach, the Shri Shal Pesach, we don't have a Chiyuv Hallel? The answer is we don't have a Chiyuv of Kriyas Hallel. But what we do have is a Chiyuv of Shira. And when we recite the Shira Sayam on Shri Shal Pesach, we are being mekayim that mitzvah of Shira. And that's for all generations. So there is a Chiyuv of Shira that's derived from Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's established in the fabric of Shvi Shal Pesach, but not B'Torah's Kriya. Why not B'Torah's Kriya? Because Kriya is only a Yontif. As far as the Yontif of Pesach is concerned, we only have one day that fits the bill and has all the requirements of a new carbon, etc., etc. So Shvi Shal Pesach doesn't have those conditions, and therefore Shvi Shal Pesach is left on the outside as far as Kriya is concerned. The Gemara wants to know, but what about Shira? Certainly, Bnei Yisrael recited Shira when they left, when they experienced the great miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, and Einoch Hinami. That's going to be embedded in Shvi Shal Pesach for all generations. If that be the case, what about Purim? Purim should certainly obligate us in Shira because the Kal V'Chomer Mimisa L'Chaim. So the Gemara answers, Kriyas Azui Hilula. Now let's compare the two sugyas. When we get to the sugya in Megillah, what we're talking about is Shira. And Enoch Hinami, the Gemara says that by reading the Megillah, we fulfill the mitzvah of Shira. What would be if you didn't have a Megillah? You know, you were a chayal in Tzahal and you had no access to a Megillah in Purim. Then Enoch Hinami, you would recite the Megillah of the Torah Shira. But in that case, you would leave out the bracha. Now we fast forward to the Gemara in Erech. The Gemara in Erech says, what about Kriyas HaHalel? And the Gemara answers that they never established a Yontif of Purim as far as the Chiyuv Hallel is concerned. There are only 8 days and not a 19th day. And the reason for that is because they felt since you're being Mekayim in the midst of Shira anyway, we're not going to establish a special takana to be Mekayim you in Hallel. So whereas in the Sugya Megillah, we come to the conclusion that Enoch Hinami, there is a Chiyuv Shira on Purim, not a Chiyuv Kriya, but a Chiyuv Shira. And that's derived from this Kal V'Chomer. In the Gemara in Erechin, we're talking about a different subject. The topic of the sugya in Erechin is the Yud Ches Yomim Shegomrim Behemes HaHalel, which means a Chiyuv Kriya with a bracha. And the Gemara thinks that logically they should have established a takon of a Chiyuv Kriya on Purim, no less than on Chanukah, meaning if Chanukah was upgraded to the status of a Yontif because of the Nes, then why didn't they do the same thing in terms of Purim and upgrade Purim to a Yontif as far as Hallel is concerned, which is Nes? And the Gemara's answer is Kriyas Zui Hilula. They never established a mitzvah of Kriyas HaHalel. Why? Because there's already a Shira. The Shira is embedded in the Kriyas HaMegillah. If Kriyas HaMegillah is already a Kiyum Shira, we don't need to go a step further and establish a formal mitzvah of Kriyas HaHalel. And if this be the case, let's go back to the Rambam we started with tonight. The Rambam, which is the first source on your page, says Lo Tiknu Hal B'Purim. What the Rambam means is Lo Tiknu Kriyas Hal B'Purim. There's no mitzvah of Kriya on Purim. Shekriyas HaMegillah Hi HaHalel, which means that Kriyas HaMegillah is a kiyum of Shira. So Rabosai, if I would ask you the following question. Is a woman obligated in Hallel on Chanukah? Is a woman obligated in Hallel on Purim? Or Kriyas HaMegillah as Hallel? Such that if there's no Megillah, then she would have to read Hallel. What would be your answer? I'm asking two questions, but it's really Shtayim Shein Achas. What would be, if based on our presentation, would a woman be obligated in Hallel on Chanukah? Would a woman be obligated in Hallel on Purim? When I say Hallel on Purim, I mean if there was no access to a Megillah. She couldn't hear the Megillah. Would she be obligated in Hallel?
Well, she's obligated in Megillah, right? So if she can't do Megillah, she would be missing something. So I think she would be obligated.
But what would she be missing? That's what I want to know.
She'd be missing the Shira of
exactly Shira, but not Hallel B'Toras Kriya, because the mitzvah of Kriya Sahal, we said, is incorporated into the status of Yom.
Same thing with a man. If a man didn't have Megillah. If he didn't even have a Megillah to read from.
Correct. So he would have a Chiyuv of Shira. He's not inferior to a woman.
So he might know.
But there would be no bracha in such a
case. No bracha. He might know Hallel B'Harpa, not Megillah by heart. So he would. So anyone who doesn't have Megillah in front of them, if they're on the middle of the ocean and.
Correct. I gave an example of a Chayal in Tzal, because I saw it with my own eyes when I was in Tzal. We didn't always have a Megillah.
Not even a book? Not even a. I don't mean.
Well, no, you can't be able to without a. You need a Megillah Kshera for the mitzvah.
Right, right. But I'm saying even.
Well, whatever the case is, right? He's on the moon and he doesn't have access to a Megillah.
He's on a ship.
So the question is, does he have a Chiyuv of Hallel? So the answer is the following. That. On Purim, they never established a mitzvah of Kriya Sahal. That's what the Rambam writes. Lo tiknu hal b'Purim. Period.
Uh-huh.
There was never a takon. They never established Purim as a yontif l'chayiv halal. So if I don't have a Megillah, I'm not chayiv in Kriya Sahal. But let's go back to the sugya in Megillah regarding Shira. The Gemara says that based on the Kal v'Chomer, we should certainly be obligated in Shira on Purim. Well, that's a chiyuv that should include men and women as well.
Right.
Because a woman, in regard to, we saw it in Tosin and Leil HaPesach, which is a mitzvah of Shira based on the Nes, she's Afein Hoyvosa Nes. So that if she doesn't have a Megillah, she would want to hear the Megillah, not B'Toras Kriyas HaHalel, but B'Toras Shira. Now, if she has a Megillah, and she's listening to the reading of the Megillah, then she would have a double kiyum. She'd have one aspect of Megillah, which is called Pirsum Anes, and now she has another dimension of Megillah, which is called Shira. And both are based on the fact that Afein Hoyu both saw Anes. Now, in the few minutes that we have, I want to shift our focus on Hashkafa. You know, until now we've been talking more Halacha in the hardcore rules of Kriyas HaMegillah and Kriyas HaHalel. If you take a look on the other side of your page, you're going to see something that I think is interesting. The Gemara in Megillah, which is the second source on your page, darshins a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim, in chapter 98, says, at the end of the pasuk, that's the part that we want to focus on, it says, Ra'u kol afse aretz es Yeshuas Elokeinu. According to the Mitzudas David, who are these afse aretz? These are the Yoshvim b'kitzvei ha'aretz. So we're going to take one thing from the Mitzudas David. We're not going to take the entire presentation. That this pasuk is referring to Jews who live in a far-flung area, but we will take the word kitzvei, that the word efes means far away, something that is far away. Now, something could be far away in one of two ways, spatially, in terms of location, it's far away, or it could be far away in terms of the obvious or lack of obvious nature of what's happening. I'll try to explain as I go along. Meaning, there's a concept called far away in space, meaning I'm far away from you, or there are Jews who are far away at the end of the earth, right? Let's assume the earth was flat for a moment, right? So if you had a Jew who's at the end of the flat earth, he's about to fall off, that would be kitzvei aretz, afsei aretz. But there's another way of understanding afsei aretz. Afsei aretz means something that's futuristic. Right now, in time, this is Ephes. This is zero. I don't see anything happening right now. The Gemara says in Masechta the Megillah on this pasuk, Ro kolafsei artes Yeshuas Elokeinu. Amosai, when was there a fulfillment of this pasuk? It's almost a prophecy that's encoded in Tehillim by David HaMelech. And he says, Bimei Mordechai v'Esther. That's what it says in the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. So we're going to try to analyze what this means, that Bimei Mordechai v'Esther, they comprehended the Afsei Ha'aretz. What does that mean? Yeshua Salokeinu, Afsei Ha'aretz. Now, what I'm about to present to you is based on a sefer called Pachad Yitzchak from Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the Rashid of Chaim Berlin. And he focuses on a Gemara in Brachos about Tefillin, which he claims from Tefillin we're going to derive a principle, an overriding principle that goes way beyond Tefillin. The Gemara says that not only does a Jew wear Tefillin, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears Tefillin as well. Again, kaviyachol, it means in a symbolic sense. The Gemara goes as far as to ask, what's written in God's Tefillin? And the Gemara answers the pasuk, Mi ki amcha Yisrael goyechad bo. So it works like this. We wear Tefillin l'chvod Hashem, and the parashas that we wear are all about the glory of God. God wears Tefillin l'chvod Am Yisrael, His chosen nation, Mi ki amcha Yisrael, and the Pachad Yitzchak, and he quotes various sources, which we're not going to go into now. This is not just an exceptional case of Tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was committed to all the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs that he gave us, you know, sometimes you find a commander who gives you mandates, but he himself doesn't feel he's above the law. God is not above the law. And here we have to ask a fundamental question. You can really classify mitzvahs into 612 verses 1. What does that mean? In every mitzvah, with the exception of one, I am, or you are, obligated to engage in a certain action. But above and beyond the 612 mitzvahs, if we go out to the wild blue yonder, we have what's called Dvar Rishus. There are many areas in human life which are not dictated, are not controlled by the law, by the halacha, by the mitzvahs. Let's say, for example, I have to decide for myself how many hours I'm going to sleep at night. That's a Dvar Rishus. Yankel Beryl wants to sleep for 5 hours, and Shmerel Beryl wants to sleep for 6 hours, and this one 8 hours, and so forth and so on. This one likes to eat potatoes. This one likes to eat steak. And everybody has their own. That's called a Dvar Rishus. Here we have the 613th mitzvah. And that mitzvah is called Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu. With the Rambam derives from this pasuk, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, that every area of human behavior, even actions which we would classify as Dvar Rishus, come under a mitzvah. And we can fulfill a mitzvah. If you take a look, the Rambam in Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu quoting this pasuk in Hilchos Deos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam talks about a person deciding what's healthy for him, or a person deciding how much sleep he should sleep. In all these cases, the Rambam says that these actions, which we define as a Dvar Rishus, come under the mitzvah of Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu. In other words, Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Every action that we do, we can, what word should I use? We can direct it, gear it towards l'shem shamayim. Why am I sleeping this number of hours? Why am I doing these exercises? Why am I eating these foods? It's because I want to be strong. I want to be healthy. I want to have a clear mind without any disease and sickness, chas v'shalom. So that I can serve Hashem. What happens in these cases is that I can convert and upgrade a Dvar Rishus into a Dvar Mitzvah. The question we want to ask is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim all the mitzvahs, then how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to be Mekayim the mitzvah? B'chol drachecha da'eh. What is the parallel to Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu in the divine world? Now again, if you ask me, what does it mean, Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu, I would tell you that you can take any action, and if you do it for the right intention, for the right goal, and it's l'shem avodas Hashem, it becomes upgraded to the level of a kiyum mitzvah, b'chol jochecha do'eim. What is the parallel in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If he's mekayim all the mitzvahs, the entire, this is one of the tariq mitzvahs that the Rambam codifies this in Hilchos Deos. V'alacha v'drachov, we have to imitate him, and we have to do everything in the way that is fulfilling his will. So the Pachad Yitzchak puts this question on the side for a moment, and he asks the following question, a very famous question, I'm sure you all know the answer. What's the difference between celebrating, commemorating the Ness of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we do on Pesach, and commemorating the Ness of Purim, which we do on Purim? Do you remember the answer to that question? It's a very famous answer to Lavush, who lived 500 years ago. He makes a big, big deal about this. How is the Ness of Pesach radically different than the Ness of Purim?
In Purim, we were going to be physically destroyed. In Pesach, we're just going to be assimilated into
okay.
Egypt.
That's true. But what else? There's something else that I'm driving at. We'd have two categories of miracles.
One is Ness Nistar and one is Ness Nistar.
Excellent. Okay. The miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Ness Nigla, from the beginning to the end. Everything is obvious, but in the case of Purim, it's a Ness Nistar. The Pachad Yitzchak says that this is fine, and it's true, but it touches the surface. There's something much more profound below the surface. So in order to explain this, he says the following. What's the difference between a Dvar Mitzvah and a Dvar Rishus? We said before that Dvar Rishus could also be upgraded and integrated into a Dvar Mitzvah if it's done and pursued for the right intention in order to serve Hashem. But there's one fundamental difference. The Mitzvah is a Maisa Mitzvah, it's an action that's a Mitzvah Lialta. Lialta means immediately. If, let's say, on Sukkot I take a lulav, on Pesach I eat a matzah, that action is defined as a maisa mitzvah. Not so in the case of Dvar Rishus. In the case of Dvar Rishus, the moment I engage in a Dvar Rishus, we don't know what's going to be down the line. It's a joker card. It's undetermined. It all depends what he's going to do with that Dvar Rishus. If he uses that Dvar Rishus as a springboard to serve Hashem, then Iglai Milsal Mafreya, now retroactively, it sheds a light on the action itself. We now can classify the action as a Dvar Mitzvah. But in its time, Lialter, in its moment, Lefishah, it's a Dvar Rishus. We don't know. In fact, he can engage in a Dvar Rishus and then decide to use it for an Avera. In that case, the Dvar Rishus was against the will of God. So everything is going to be determined down the line. We're going to have to wait to see later on if the action that he engaged in, that was occupied in, was a Dvar Mitzvah. Not so in the case of a Mitzvah. In the case of a Mitzvah, immediately, as he's engaged in the Maisa, the Alter, it's a Maisa Mitzvah. He says the following. When we call something a Dvar Rishus in the world of materialism, of in the what's called Mili D'Alma, in the so-called mundane secular world, then what you mean when you say Dvar Rishus is that the law doesn't have anything to say about it. It's totally irrelevant to the law. But in the case of a Dvar Shamayim, of something that's heavenly, in the case of a Jew who's fulfilling the mitzvahs of Hashem, that's not the definition of a Dvar Rishus. A Dvar Rishus is not completely outside the realm of law. A Dvar Rishus will either come under an Avera, if Chas V'Sholom he engages in that Rishus and then, you know, he messes up his Avodas Hashem, or it's a Dvar Mitzvah. But again, we'll only clarify that later on. Rav Huna wants to suggest the following. Just like in our world, we're obligated in Bechol Jochecha Da'eh, we have to engage in certain actions which are called B'Shaito, B'Lialto, called the Dvar Rishus, so that later on, L'Mafreya, it will be determined that this was done l'shem shamayim, this was l'chvod shamayim, for the honor and the glory of God. So too, he says, up in shamayim, God also has a dvarishus, meaning in God's relationship to the people of Israel. Sometimes he does actions which clearly, immediately can be determined and classified and described as a Dvar Mitzvah, meaning it's L'forum Shal Yisrael. He's wearing his tefillin, God, and it says, Hanamikamcha Yisrael Goyech Moritz. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in certain actions and we don't know in his Hanhaga, in his control of the world, what's going to be down the line. It's indeterminate. It's only later on that Lamafreya retroactively will know exactly whether it was a Dvar Mitzvah. Now that's the B'chol Drachecha Do'eyu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the prime example is going to be Purim. Why Purim? Because B'chol Pa'ula Pa'ula, if you isolate every single event in and of itself in the story of Purim, well, guess what? We don't know what it's going to lead to. It could go this way, it could go that way. You know, we can give so many examples, from the death of Vashti to the appointment of Esther, the whole story of that big son of Seresh. Each piece of the Megillah on its own is a Dvar Rishus. HaYeshua de Purim, he says, Meshunahi, it's very unique. Called Ma'ora, every episode, Kshi Li'atzma, in and of itself, you know, if you'd frame it, He Hanhogas Yom Yom. The Einbo Mishum Heker L'Chvod Yisrael. There's no indication, it's not obvious that it's being done for Chvod Yisrael. Only when we integrate all the events together, then the Nes of Pur becomes clear. It's only at the end of the story, at the end of the episode, that the Kvodom Shal Yisrael's Mizbarer becomes clear, clarified, and all the links in the chain now retroactively can be understood. Let's come back now to the Gemara that we started. The Gemara says, "Viro so kolafse aretz es Yeshua selokeinu." Now we can have a different interpretation to the word "afse" in the phrase "afse aretz." "Afse aretz" means that each action unto itself is like an efes, meaning it's a zero in terms of its, if its relationship to save Klali, so we don't know what's the nature of that relation. It's only v'sofo shel davar, it's only at the end of the story, that we'll begin to understand that it's v'chol drachecha da'eyu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it clear that every single piece of the puzzle was leading up to and part of the plan of the Yeshua Selokeinu. So now, this mitzvah, which in its time, again from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, the mitzvah that Hashem is engaged in its moment is a Dvar Rishus, it only becomes a Chefzah Shel mitzvah at the end, L'mafreya, and every single piece now becomes a Chefzah Shel mitzvah, it's L'chvodom Shi Yisrael. So therefore the Biru, the clarification, only comes L'akra Maisa, after the finish, when we get to the finish line. That's what it means, Yeshua's Elokeinu. The Yeshua of Yemei, Mordechai, V'Esther is very unique. And it expresses itself in the phenomenon of Afse Ha'aretz. Afse Ha'aretz means that in its time, you can only call it an Ephes. Meaning, the Ephes means only at the end will we understand that link in the chain. Sofo Shel Dovar, who Hayosef Karov Linikudas, Afisoso. And therefore he concludes by saying that although one of the questions that will be asked and interrogated when we get on highest Tzipis L'Yeshua means have we waited for the Yeshua, on Purim the concept of Tzipis L'Yeshua comes under a very unique special category. Tzipis L'Yeshua means are you waiting to the day that you'll see that everything that happened in the history of Klal Yisrael, all the episodes, were part of a divine plan leading up to the ultimate Yeshua. That's called Tzipisa L'Yeshua. In the words of the Pachad Yitzchak, he says the following. He says, the whole year round, the avoda, the challenge of Tzipisa Yeshua, means one thing. It means that we're waiting for the end of days when all the tzaras will be batel, and there'll be no more tzaras. But on Purim, we have a unique tzipisa Yeshua. Our tzipisa Yeshua on Purim is we're waiting not for bittel, not for the end and the termination of all the tzaras, but something more profound. What we're waiting for is shetivare. We're waiting not for a bittel, but a birur. And that means shetigale, there'll be a revelation. Kimi olam lohoya kanshum hester vehele, God was never concealed. Bipurim on Yoshua mitzapim leosu Yeshua sheshma afse haaretz. And what does afse haaretz mean? That's the highest level of Yeshua. The afse haaretz is the kiyum of b'chol drachecha da'ehu. And we'll understand and we'll acknowledge that these afse haaretz were all part of a divine plan. That's the ultimate gilui, the ultimate revelation, when everything l'mafreya becomes mevura, becomes clarified. That's the Yeshua of afse haaretz, v'ro kol afse haaretz is Yeshua Salakeinu. We should be zochet to that day speedily in our time. Amen. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you so much.